True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, it's 4 o'clock and time for a little Patriots season preview talk. And football talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And as I mentioned before the break, yesterday we talked big picture NFL previews. We picked playoff teams, Super Bowl winners, MVPs, fired coaches, the whole kit and caboodle. Today we decided, Patriots Friday, let's look at the Patriots season. So Dan Ball, once again, you're going to lead us in this little around the horn version of Crystal Ball, what's going to happen with the Patriots this season. Ooh, music.
Might as well at least put everybody in the mood with the NFL on Fox theme.
Love it.
As we get you ready for the 2025 Patriots season, a lot of roster turnover, a lot of intrigue. You got people picking 6 wins. You got people picking 11 wins. And you have us picking some of these superlatives for the 2025 season.
And or you have Brian Hoyer picking everything in between.
Yeah, there'll be a playoff team or not a playoff team or at the top of the draft. Who knows? But Brian Hoyer, one of the very best. So we'll see if we can get him to actually pick a lane after week one. But in the meantime, we'll pick our superlatives for the 2025 season. We'll go Andy, Fitzy, and Ted, beginning with the most important, the most valuable player on the Patriots in 2025. Andy Hart, who will that be?
I don't follow rules very well, so I'm going to cheat here. And I'm actually going to pick two guys that we just spent a lot of the last segment talking about. I think the defensive tackles are going to be the MVPs of this team. I think it's going to be Milton Williams and Christian Barmore. And I don't think teams are going to treat them the same every week. I think they're going to be so sort of a tandem or week to week that some teams will double Williams. Barmore might get some matchups, might go the other way the next week. But I think those guys are going to set the tone not only for the front end, but for the back end. I think they're going to be that interior pass rush. So it's going to be a two-headed MVP. It's Milton Williams, Christian Barmore. It's $200 million. Yes, Dan Ball.
Let's go to the judges.
No, that's okay.
No, you got to pick one.
No, I don't, because Peter King, who votes for legit the real MVP award, once voted half for two different people, a 0.5 vote and a 0.5 vote.
It was precedent.
If you can do it in the real world, you can do it on this radio
Peter
show
King,
where
Hall of Famer can do it.
Because who's in control?
Me. So who's your MVP?
I'm
Milton Williams and Christian Barmore. That's, so move on.
That's weak. Fitzy, can you show them how it's done?
Yes, I absolutely will. And I'm going to go chalk for a change as opposed to trying to be unique, cute, or boutique. The most valuable player in this team is exactly the person you're going to need to lead you to relevance, a good record, a winning record, or for those that are still high, high, high on springtime Patriots vibes, it's got to be Drake May. If Drake May plays the way that we think he can, which is a little bit better than 2021 Mac Jones, but not quite as great as 2024 Jaden Daniels, then the New England Patriots are going to be in all of these games. That means the line is held up for him. That means he's listening to Josh's coaching. That means that Steph Diggs is getting open. That means that Kayshon Booty is fulfilling Tommy Curran's faith and Travion Henderson is scoring whenever he gets the ball in his hands. I think Drake May has to be your MVP for this team to be good.
All right, there you go. Teddy, what do you got?
One of my big key stats for going into the season was that the quarterback had to have a three to one touchdown to interception ratio. And I believe the MVP will be Drake May. He is going to throw 27 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. He's going to complete 67% or better of his passes, and he's going to eclipse 3,800 yards. So to me, that is worthy of an MVP nod. I think he is your MVP at the end of the season.
That's one of the more ringing endorsements I've heard of Drake May in a while. And I really hope you're right.
Because I hope I'm right, brother.
I think if he's your MVP, we're talking about a team that's at least going for a wild card spot.
Oh, I want him to be the MVP.
Yeah.
Just not sure he's going to be.
That's fair. So you didn't listen in pick two. So we'll go with that. 2 Drake Mays and 2 defensive players for Andy. So again, your next best offensive player, like we talked about yesterday, your offensive player of the year, Andy Hart, your pick.
Here's where I hearken back to Nick Fitzy Stevens around 3:12 today in his 3-point stance. Ramondre Stevenson. He is going to enjoy and be boosted by the help and the competition that Travion Henderson provides. I think he is going to have a tremendous year. Tremendous. Lots of touchdowns, lots of receptions, lots of big plays. He's going to be fresh. He's going to be productive. It's Mondre.
Mm, you're going Mondre, huh?
Damn
okay,
right.
I like it.
I can guess where you're going.
Listen, I'm staying chalk. Your offensive player of the year is also your MVP. And here's one thing I need Josh to do. Like I said, I'm not going to even weigh in with a full Drake assessment until mid to late October, because I think he's going to need 6 games to A, complete a full NFL season, since he only started 11 in the tire fire of the 2024 Pats, and B, a little extra time to get used to playing with Josh in his ear in that complicated playbook that we heard that Ish is calculus in. That being said, once he's comfortable and he starts using his legs even more, not just to escape a collapsing offensive line, he is going to become, much like Iceman and Maverick in Top Gun, dangerous. And I think that's when you're really going to get excited about watching Drake May in the future of football in Foxborough. So I'm going to go OPOY, same as MVP, Drakeo May.
That's right. Ice man. I am dangerous. All right. I'm going with DeMario Douglas is going to be offensive player of the year.
That's so good.
He had 66 receptions last year for 621 yards. I'm gonna bump that up to probably 80 catches for close to 850 yards and 7 touchdowns is kind of what I'm looking at for a stat
line.
DeMario Douglas has been getting a lot of love in camp. A lot of attention is going to him. And so he's going to be that slot receiver that they haven't had in a while. So he is my offensive player of the year.
Love that. Okay, let's flip over to the other side of the field. The only one that really matters, right, Ted? The defensive side of the field for the defensive player of the year. Andy Hart, who is that for you?
Here's where I definitely go chalk, assuming he gets on the field, and that would be Christian Gonzalez. He's your all-pro. He's your best player. He is the key to the back end. And I'm not going to double dip with, one of the D tackles here. So I think Christian Gonzalez is going to be asked on a weekly basis to cover the other team's number one receiver, and he proved last year he is up to that task, assuming his hamstring actually works.
Okay, here's where I'm going to go with what everyone told me way back in the spring when we were all hype on the Patriots being a playoff team, 10-11 wins, OMFG. And that is, hey, there's going to be a new favorite football player in Foxborough, and he wears the number of some of your other favorite New England Patriots, including Steve Grogan, and that would be number 14, the barroom brawler, the unofficial dropkick Murphy, the bouncer at every bar you've been to in Southie, Robert Spillane, because I think he is going to be in charge of cleaning up so many different things along the line, in the middle of the field. He's okay in coverage. He's 170 tackles guaranteed, and I think he, guys, as much as we want to love this defensive line and we have confidence in the back end with Gonzo, I don't know how healthy he's going to be or how many games he might miss. I bet you Spillane would have to lose 2 limbs like the Black Knight and Monty Python and the Holy Grail to be taken off the field. So I think he is going to be your defensive player of the year.
So Spillane's only missed 1 game in the last 3 years, so he's dependable in that regard. He had averaged 150 tackles the last 2 years. He'll lead the team in tackles. He's got a nose for the ball, multiple interceptions in the last couple years. I just don't think anybody on the D-line is going to show out. And I just think at the end of the day, you're going to see a solid stat line from Robert Spillane, who was probably your most consistent player. So give me Robert Spillane.
You two. You sharing a brain today, you two?
Yes.
Like-minded. You guys just become up. Best friends?
Wow.
We're doing karate in the garage at 6:05.
Two best friends that anyone could have. There you go. So
did you say guaranteed 170 tackles? Sounds
yes,
like a lot.
It'd be the most he's ever had in his career.
But like Ted, doesn't he average somewhere like around 150, 160?
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
150. And you're not the first I've heard that. The Athletic did a bold prediction. Chad Graff did like 10 bold predictions, and he said Spillane will not only lead the Patriots in tackles, but he'll lead the entire NFL in tackles this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
170, I think, would do it, I would think.
Oh, I think if you get 170, and that's 10 a game, which is doable, I guess.
I mean, I averaged 9 in my career, but, you know.
Oh,
so.
Lord. Not a
Ted,
big
Wait, Ted,
deal.
You played in the NFL?
I did. I haven't heard.
Got some nice jewelry as a result. Okay. You could take this as a good or a bad thing, but a lot of rookies to choose from for the rookie of the year for the New England Patriots. Andy Hart, who's that for you?
I'm going to go Travion Henderson. I'd like.
Why'd you say that sadly?
Well, because I feel like it's the common, everybody's doing it the same. I want it to be Will Campbell. That's who I'm rooting for, because I want everybody to be like, oh, my God. Because all our fights and our debates and arm length and left tackle and guard, it would be probably better for the football team if he's your best rookie and you're like, wow, we have a franchise left tackle out there. But I think it's probably Travion Henderson.
I'm going Travion Henderson. Sorry, I just cut in front of you there, Fitz.
I bet you he goes okay. Travion Henderson too.
Because I'm guessing.
No, I was gonna say I'm gonna let my new football best friend pick it for me. I'm Travion all the way. And Ted, I'm sure you were listening on the way in when we had the pleasure of speaking to Jeremy Springer, special teams coordinator at 2:15. But the way that he sort of broke down the new dynamic kickoff and how it's not 11-on-11 anymore, but rather it's like a 9-on-7 running play that it's turning into an offensive play, not a special teams play, that just lends value to Travion Henderson having that breakaway speed, ball security, and being big enough to handle the new sort of like zone running play that kickoff returns have become.
Yeah, it's easy to go point to him because he can take – so what you want in your wide receiver – is the elite guy is the guy that can take a slant to the house.
Yeah.
The elite running back is the guy that can take a screen to the house. That's Travion Henderson. So it's really, to me, easy picking him as rookie of the year.
Very excited to see what he can be.
Yep.
Very excited indeed. Okay, to the other superlatives, not necessarily with names across the league. The leading wide receiver is what Andy wrote in his email. So, by season's end, Andy, we are saying the number one wide receiver for the New England Patriots is who?
Ted's guy.
Nice.
Pop Douglas.
I like that.
I think the slot receiver of the Patriots offense, he's got to stay healthy. That's my concern. I think he's going to get some volume thrown his way. And I always go back to those guys, the Welkers of the world. One of their greatest abilities was you can throw them the ball 10 times a game and they get up 10 times for you to throw it to them again. And that's not easy to do at their size in the middle of the field. I always go back to that old Michael Irvin thing where he joked, there's two places I can go. If I go inside, I go to the hospital. If I go down the field, I go to the Hall of Fame. So I'm going down the field and not going inside.
I like that.
But he's going to have to go inside sometimes and take some bumps and
times.
Get up. So, yeah, I think Pop Douglas is going to have a nice year. Now, I don't know if it'll be 1,000, Fitzy, but I think he's going to lead the team in reception in yards.
Oh, interesting. Ted, are you with him in that Pop Douglas will be
Pop
the receiver?
Yeah, Pop Douglas, 850 yards. Yep, leads the team.
Oh, man, just when we were all vibing and copacetic together, I'm going to have to break up with y'all. I'm going Kayshon Boutte. I think Kayshon Boutte, who Tom E. Curran, regular friend of and guest of the station and the show, said he's primed for the leap. I think he makes the year three leap, which is really kind of a year two because first year after the Eagles game was kind of a benching for him. He obviously showed the deep threat connection last year with Drake May as well. I was listening to him on a podcast recently with Taylor Kyles at CLNS, and just the way that he talks about his game and the way he's seeing the field and that he lost weight but put on some muscle and he's gained a little speed and that he's been described as a more mature professional receiver this year. I think he's going to out-receive Steph Diggs. I think he's going to get more yards than Pop Douglas, who I do have size concern over, and I think Kayshon is ready for a primetime professional NFL feature spot this year. So give me Kayshon Boutte for the leading receiver.
Yeah, and it could be bunched up, too. They could have, like, 3 700-yard receivers.
I think that's exactly how Josh would like it.
Yeah, so the leader.
That would be awesome.
I'm all for it. You know, and I think that's good for Drake. Spread it around. Don't have a go-to guy. Don't have any pressure to go to one guy. So that could be good for them. Dan Ball.
All right, on we go. I'm just going to read this verbatim from Andy. Leading sack guy is how he wrote it in his email. So, Andy, who is getting to the quarterback most often
leading
this year?
Leading sack guy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the sack master, not Chaseon, who is the hot new name. I'm going to go Christian Barmore. And I think that combo inside Barmore is going to end up the more productive of that interior combo. I don't think they're going to have a huge sack number guy. 9, maybe 8, could lead this team in sacks. I'm hoping they have, like at receiver, a bunch of guys with a bunch of sacks from different. But I'm going to go Barmore for the leader.
I'm going to go with Chaseon. And I think what we end up having is a double-digit sack season from the guy who's coming on out of nowhere, revitalizing his career at what is going to be like a midway point, like a stop house. Like he's going to come here, stay for a year, crush it, then get paid somewhere else next season. Kind of like the way Sweat, had a career year at the tail end of it last year for Philadelphia. And Josh Sweat got paid to go to Arizona. Watch Chaseon have like 11 and a half sacks, passing Landry, a few more than Barmore. And then somewhere next year, he gets 4 for 60, and the Patriots work with Keon White or try to bring Swinson along, et cetera. So I got Chaseon being your sack leader.
I'm going with the kind of the bigger name that was brought in free agency edge rusher, and that's Harold Landry. So he's had a couple years in his career where he's had 10-plus sacks. I think he will lead the team, and it's not going to be a lot of sacks because I hope you're right. I hope it's a bunch of guys getting anywhere from 5 to 10 sacks. But he'll lead the team with 11 sacks, Harold Landry.
Okay.
Now, to a couple of thought-provoking questions that were added at the end of the list. Andy Hart, what is the biggest question? I'm Rod Burgundy with the 2025 Patriots.
You say 1, 2, 3, we'll say it at the same time.
Offensive line.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I forgot the 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Offensive line.
We'll fight and die to protect them with everything I've got.
Yep. Don't die. Just protect him. And I think everything they do offensively hinges on how good that line is. Maybe how good by some measure the left tackle is. I heard Josh, I mentioned this earlier. I don't know if you watched Josh's press conference. He kind of alluded to they might rotate some guys early in the year, which is something they've done in the past. Just on the line. He was like, just because we put 5 guys out there could be early in the year conditioning. I forgot exactly. And they've done that in the past, especially if they have a couple spots they're not sold. They have a lockdown starter. Yeah. If the offensive line is mostly good enough, then I'm taking my win total's too low. Now, I have my doubts about the line, but if they're good enough, this team might be good enough.
Where does Gonzo's health rank in terms of questions about the team? Like, if he misses a second week, does this now officially become a priority question about the team?
No. I have to go longer than that, although I do always worry about hamstrings and muscle injuries and whatever, but
If you told me he was out for half the year, I would say, yeah, that's probably my biggest concern is secondary. Yeah.
But I'm going to assume
it's O-line.
I'm going to assume they're being cautious and overly cautious and making sure that when he comes back, he's fully healthy and he doesn't miss half the year after that.
So the O-line, the biggest concerns are the left side. Maybe probably starting a rookie at left guard and left tackle. And
feast.
You could see from the very first preseason game, their first long third and down, They got the quarterback killed because they didn't pick up an X stunt, and that's what you worry about is teams game planning that left side with rookies starting on that side in those third and long situations. That is something that you got to be watching early in these games. Early in the season.
Well, as we're watching these games early in the season, Andy Hart, we will be saying the biggest strength of the New England Patriots is what?
That's easy for me. I had 2 MVPs, 2 guys, 1 award. The defensive tackles, the interior defensive line, I think is the biggest strength on this roster. And I hope I'm right because I think that could be key to what Terrell Williams and Mike Vrabel want to do on defense.
Man, that'd be great.
What Andy said and what Ted echoed.
Ooh, I thought somebody would go backfield.
I didn't get my answer.
My apologies, Ted. Yeah.
The biggest strength is going to be the coaching. That is going to be their biggest strength, coaching.
Wow.
His guy.
Would you like to
when you share a huddle face? Together?
I think they'll be prepared. I think they'll have in-game management. There won't be a question mark. We won't be going, why are they running the ball on first down right? But with a minute and a half left and 2 timeouts still on the clock. I just think they'll have better game plans, better in-game management, and be better coached than they've been here for a very long time.
How quickly into Sunday do we notice that, Ted?
You should notice it pretty quick.
I mean, last year, didn't they have a couple times where they had a motion penalty on the kickoff? They got a flag on the kickoff, so we could know, is, hey, they made it through the kickoff with no penalties.
Was it the first kickoff?
I think so.
I think you're right. I think it was the first kickoff of the season.
A guy moved too early.
No, it was. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, first kick before the – I mean, they won that game. They literally – and Twitter was like, oh, there you go. This is what it's going to be like this year. Funny thing it was.
So if they don't have a flag on the opening kickoff, we've already seen improvement right out the gates.
That is kind of crazy. 0 seconds into the season, we're already moving backwards.
Right.
We probably should have known at the time.
I will say, though, Ted, if Vrabel's efforts against the Patriots and Belichick are indicative of what we're going to continue to see on a weekly basis, I'm ready for that. Because he used to kind of have his way with Bill and the Patriots at times.
He did.
Well, that's the stretch factor for you.
I have one question on Ted's answer, and then we can move to the last one. And it's a genuine question. If we come away out of this season saying, oh, coaching was the strength of the New England Patriots, is that good enough to be a playoff team? Can you be a playoff team if your biggest strength is coaching versus what's happening on the field?
I think so, because I think the talent is average to at best, and so I think if they're going to be a playoff team, it's because they won games on the margin, and that usually reflects good coaching.
Okay.
Should I poke the bear, Dan?
Always.
Well, they won 3 Super Bowls to start a dynasty where coaching was the biggest strength of the team.
You know what? He was worth 10%, I'd say.
Bill Belichick has done it again.
Andy Hart trying to get himself killed.
You might have gone fly fishing last week, but I just hooked one right there. I set the lure reeled it in.
All right, I'm going to combine the last two for our final answer here before we get to trending and Rob Bradford. The most important game of the season is what? And then the game that you said the best, but the game you're most excited to watch is what this season?
Okay, so this may be overdramatic, but I've kind of tipped my hand at this all week. I think the most important game of the season is Sunday at 1 o'clock at Gillette Stadium. I think getting off to a hot start matters. I think kind of getting going under the Vrabel era matters, Mike and Drake May and Josh. But I also think if they're going to have aspirations of contending for a playoff spot late in the year, this Raiders game is one you need to win early. You need to get it in your back pocket. Otherwise, I think you'll be kicking yourself and you'll be out of it come December because you lost this game. So I think the most important game is this one. And then the one I'm most excited about is week 16 at the Ravens, because I want you to still be – I don't think you're going to beat the Ravens, and I don't think you're anywhere near as good as the Ravens. But I want you to still be competitive and engaged in that game to matter, and me to see how you measure up against maybe the best team in the AFC or maybe in all of football. So I'm looking forward to that game still being a real football game come late in the year.
I'm going to say that the most important game is also the game that I'm most excited to watch. It's the first game of October. It will be the rivalry game for the home team, or the rivalry outfit game for the home team, the Buffalo Bills in their ice white Bills unis. It's Patriots at Bills on Sunday Night Football, and if the stars align themselves, then we're talking about a Sunday Night Football game where potentially your 3-1 Patriots come in and take on a 3-1 or 4-0 Buffalo Bills. There'll be a little bit of that, oh, could first in the AFC be on the line tonight, while the Boston Red Sox are also still in the playoffs pursuing a chance to make it all the way to the American League Championship Series, we hope as well. So the vibes, Boston sports-wise, should be immaculate at that time of year.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope. The most important game for me, I think, is that first division game against the Dolphins in week 2. I'm curious to see how they do. You got to beat your division foes. And then the game I'm most excited, I'm kind of excited to see them play the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers and T.J. Watt going against Will Campbell. To me, those are fascinating matchups in the third week of the season. So that's what I'm the game I'm most excited to watch.
All right, those are our predictions for the Patriots season that is underway as of Sunday. But the Red Sox are still playing. Red Sox got a big game tonight in Arizona. It's a Toley start. We're not cool like the midday show. We're not all wearing fake mustaches for Peyton Toley to celebrate the day. But up next, we'll talk to somebody who's out there with Peyton Toley, who spoke with Peyton Toley. Our guy Rob Bradford will join us next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
The first time you became a major league pitcher to the second time you're going to be taking the major league mound, what are some of the things that you learned along the way?
A lot. I think there's like the biggest thing that I'm kind of working through right now is like just treating every hitter like it's a right-handed or left-handed hitter, you know, just trying to attack them the same way that I'm going to attack anybody, and trying to learn about scouting, trying to learn about, you know, what are guys looking for, you know, on the iPads in here, just like kind of any little nuggets that I can get is kind of what I'm trying to learn. So really just kind of anything.
That was a conversation between Rob Bradford and Peyton Tolley. Little sampling of the two-minute grill. You can hear the rest of that during the Mass Mutual pregame show tonight. Red Sox in Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks. And joining us on the phone lines now from Arizona is Rob Bradford. Bradfo is presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. How are we doing today, Mr. Bradford?
You know, I climbed to the top of a mountain, Camelback Mountain, today, just so I could scream McFarland all over the Paradise Valley area, and it carried all the way over to Chase Field. So it's been a great morning. It's been a great day, and it's being punctuated with by talking to you guys, so thank you.
So a week ago, we talked to you at Fenway Park. It was Peyton Tolley night, and we were talking about the moment won't be too big for him. I think it's safe to say that the moment was not too big for him. They didn't win the game, but he went out there and more than did his job, and he brought a new youthful vibe to the mound that we haven't seen before. What did you think of that debut at Fenway?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I look back at when we were talking, and I think that you remember the game, but I'll remember just hanging with you guys talking about it, about how this was maybe going to play out.
Yep.
And what a big game it was and what a big moment it was. And, you know, I think that after we went through it, one of the things that struck me was you have Paul Skeens on the mound and you're paying attention to Peyton Tolley happening. You're not paying attention to Paul Skeens happening, which has never probably happened in Paul Skeens' existence. So I think that was an interesting dynamic. And in terms of the pitching, I mean, I don't think it was complicated. I think I told you guys, I said, if I was him, I'd say, all right, strike one fastball. And you know what? I'm wrong about a lot of things, but that seemed to be the correct scouting report, and it seemed to work for him.
Bradfo, I was excited when Alex Cora, my excitement was dulled a little bit by hearing the first thing out of his mouth be that Roman Anthony was going to be on the IL for potentially 4 to 6 weeks while he recovers from the oblique injury. But later on in our Wednesday interview with the manager, I was excited to hear that he has no fear about being aggressive with the bullpen, because I was disappointed Weissert came in, because he gives up way too many inherited runners when he comes in the sixth, seventh innings usually, and that maybe Toley could be in that spot, like the fifth, sixth, seventh, when you need somebody else prior to Whitlock or Slayton or Chapman. Can you see him settling into that role potentially in that David Price thing after these next couple starts?
After the season, after the regular season, because, you know, and I think in a perfect world, you would do it before, and maybe they will, but this is like Peyton Toley as a starter isn't a luxury item. It's a necessity. You don't have anybody else who can be that number four starter, and you're still trying to win games in the regular season and win a division, get home field advantage, whatever it is, and that's going to be a big part of it. That is your best avenue to do that. Peyton Toley as a starting pitcher right now. But when you get to the post, I don't think there's any question. I mean, I think that what's the most valuable thing when it comes to using Peyton Toley? And I would think that it being a high leverage, no doubt about it, David Price circa 2008 kind of guy over really like this sort of a four starter in a playoff series, I think that would take priority. By the way, guys, you saw it. I mean, you saw how this plays. Like, you saw how that could work. And I don't necessarily think this guy is going to be a seven-inning starter, but I do think that he absolutely could be a dominant two-inning reliever.
Hey, Brad Foe, Roman Anthony was just a great spark in there in the leadoff spot. Now that he is gone for the foreseeable future, do you see them going back to Jarren Duran in that spot? He kind of struggled there when they had him in there, but how do you see them settling on the leadoff spot now that Roman Anthony is on the shelf for a little bit?
Yeah, I think, Ted, it's going to be a mix and match sort of. It's going to move Duran up there, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. I think that what we've seen in that game since then, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe they'll put him back up there, but the problem is that you don't have typical number three hitter. I mean, you want Trevor Story to keep doing what he's doing where he is. And this is one of the biggest things when it comes to the Roman Anthony dynamic. And listen, you can win without Roman Anthony, right? We don't run isolations for outfielders. I said it a million times. This is a lot different than maybe losing a Garrett Crochet or an Aroldis Chapman. But at the same time, when you don't have Roman Anthony and you don't have Willy Abreu, two guys who hit from the same side of the plate, you don't have logical replacements for that side of the plate against righty pitching. A huge, huge miss. Along with, like you said, the leadoff hitter, which is there isn't a logical guy to put there. So yeah, they're going to have to bob and weave their way through this a little bit. But you know, I think it's ultimately what it comes down to, guys, is that why Alex Bregman says everyone just has to keep doing their thing. No, you have to be better. Everyone has to be better. That's the reality of this.
Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. I wanted to ask you, you spend a lot of time around this team, and what was the vibe? Do you believe what they are saying publicly? How do you think they emotionally reacted to the loss of Roman Anthony, which from the outside looking in looks like, wow, that really hinders your ability to really do anything in the postseason?
Yeah, I think that from Roman's point of view, I think Ian Brown of MLB.com said it best. It's like, we haven't seen a guy really gutted by an injury in a long, long while like this. Maybe Trevor Story last year, but you know, for him, this is obviously a tough thing, tough timing, and everything that was leading up to what would be the most exciting time of his young life. But I think from the Red Sox point of view, you get to this time of year, it really is like you can't sulk, right? They've earned their right to get to this point of the year, and no matter who you have playing, if they get five more guys hurt, they're just going to have to figure it out. And I think that's the dynamic. I know that usually that's a cliche, but this time of year, Andy, like, I think that's a very real thing, which is those guys in there, like, a lot of those guys, you know, this is either their last chance of doing it, their first chance of doing it, or they haven't done it in a long time. And no matter who gets hurt, they're going to try to take advantage of it. So I think that's sort of the mindset and the vibe you get in there.
Brad Foe Show, tell me that I'm being crazy when I say, or at least that I express a little concern over all the recent discussion over contract extensions versus opt-outs with Trevor Story and Bregman. Like, these guys are professional enough now that they're going to lock in and focus, and we shouldn't worry about it in the here and now, right?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's yeah. Put it this way. If I'm not going to call it. You're obviously, Fitzy, your instincts are keen, as has been proven by Swing Path Conversation and other.
Thank you very much.
Other omnipresent observations.
I don't know. He changed his swing and he hurt his oblique. I'm blaming Fitzy.
I was waiting for someone to blame me on the show.
You gotta sacrifice something for the greater good, right? So it was a nice run. It's like guys throwing 100. You just know it's coming. So I do think that it's with both, let's say that Story and Bregman. Let's take each of those. Mm-hmm. Like, Story is, this is, nobody saw this coming. Nobody would ever have thought that this would even be part of the conversation about opting now. And now he's been so good, maybe he entertains it. But I think one of the things, and this is, I think you go with the Chapman, why he signed the extension. And this is maybe a credit to how far they've come. I think for both those guys, there is an element of, I don't want to leave this behind. Like, I don't want to leave this behind. If I have the option to stay here, make a really good amount of money, I don't want to leave it behind. And so I think Story, they still think it's a tremendous long shot that he opts out. And I think with Bregman, everybody says he's opting out. I don't think the Red Sox necessarily think he is, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, that's the reason why, you know, I had the report a month or so ago about how they hadn't even engaged him. And I think that was one of the reasons, because, like, I think that they think there's a good chance that he'll stick around. And everybody who said, oh, no, he's going to opt out. Well, you know, he's been injured. He hasn't been great for the second half year. And we all know the value of him, but he can still opt out next year and make $40 million in between. So, you know, maybe I'm totally wrong, but I think that there's a lot of people in that Red Sox organization that feel like that he's sticking around.
He's sticking around. He's not going anywhere. He loves it here. You can just tell. Brad Foe, Garrett Crochet in his last outing against the Guardians. 6 innings pitched, 9 hits, 7 earned runs, 4 home runs. Nothing to see here, a one-off, or is that something to be concerned about?
I think somewhere in between. I think you can't ignore it, Ted. Like, you can't ignore it. You can't ignore this. Where, you know, he's had a couple of these, but he's bounced back with these dominant performances. That's fine. But here we are. We're in a whole new, brave new world for Garrett Crochet. That's an indisputable fact. And they have to take care of him. They have to do whatever they can. There's nothing they can really do. It's not that they can say, hey, we're going to skip 2 starts, because they need him. Like we talk about Tolley, they need him. They need Crochet. And, you know, I think that we have to be aware, they can talk about their sports science and taking care of them and everything else. All I know is this, is that there are so few guys now that do what pitchers used to do, which is go 220, 225, 230 innings into a season with postseason runs and come out of it just like feeling just great. Zach Gallen, the guy we're going to go over and talk to today, he did 240-something innings, and he's just starting to get right just now. So you have to take care of this guy. You have to do whatever you can to give him whatever breaks you can. And what you hang your hat on is he's a big guy. He's adjusted to things. And listen, I mean, there's no doubt about it. We can talk about Roman Anthony. We can talk about Chapman. This guy's the most important guy they have.
You keep referencing, and before we let you go here, the lack of pitching depth in the starting rotation. 2 weeks in a row, we had these weird reports. Kyle Harrison's coming up. He's going to start. Kyle Harrison's going to start. He never ended up starting. Then he's back in Worcester. Maybe he has this apparently ankle injury. Are we going to see Kyle Harrison at some point, and maybe some point soon?
Yeah, I think it was a good question for you, Cora. Now, they've been so protective of injuries. Like, it's been next level type stuff. So it was a good question to ask, and I'm not surprised that it didn't answer it. but that was what Kyle Harrison said. I mean, his ankle was tweaked. He went off, and that was, we all know that because that's what Kyle Harrison said. So to answer your question is, I think it really depends on, you have to make sure that's okay. And if that is okay, then absolutely you have to, if you have to integrate him, because you're talking about starting depth. All right, you got, including Toley, you got the four guys, but you're still throwing a bullpen game. And I know that they'll say, well, Dustin May's there. Well, Dustin May, benefit of the doubt for Dustin May almost has left the building. So you have to figure this out, and maybe you can catch lightning in the bottle if you have that ankle healthy for a Kyle Harrison.
All right, Brad Foe, appreciate you joining us. I don't have a mountain. You already conquered that, but I do have a radio station, so feel free to yell McFarland if you want one more time.
Listen, and you know that McFarland travels in the dry heat further and further. So McFarland, my friends. Yeah, so thank you guys, and it's going to be a fun weekend.
See you, Brad Foe. Enjoy the Toley game. We'll talk to you next week. Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, here on WEEI Afternoons. When we return, we'll talk about that Toley game tonight. Can he recreate the magic of his home first start on the road? We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Since then, there's been, like you said, like a lot of different information coming your way.
Yeah. It's just trying to find what's going to work for me. You know, some guys are super duper heavy into the analytics and the videos of it. Some guys are like, I just kind of go out there and pitch and do my thing. And so I'll probably find myself somewhere in the middle of there. But everybody's been super open so far about questions.
That was Peyton Toley with Rob Bradford, the 2-Minute Grill. You can hear more of that on the Mass Mutual pregame show tonight. Late one. I believe it's a 9:40 first pitch out in Arizona.
Yep. Tough.
So a little after 8:40, you can listen to the pregame show and listen
I'm
to
jealous.
The... you're jealous?
Jealous of Bradford climbing with Camelback Mountain. I love the desert, man. Love the desert. I feel there's like an energy.
It's magnetic.
It's magnets under the ground. Like, you get there and you just are in a better, your mood is elevated when you land in the desert. It just is.
Yeah.
It's you know what else is out there?
Yeah.
A lot of the things we talked about earlier.
A lot of treatment centers out
there. The A to C or D.
Hey, Scottsdale?
Oh, my God.
Lots of C's and D's, baby.
Yes, you go jogging out there and you're like, good Lord.
This is not, we're on EEI, not MILF Radio.
I put North Scottsdale up there with Florida.
Miami.
The west side of Florida.
Naples,
thank you.
Yep, that's exactly.
Fitzy doesn't want to talk about it, but he'll inform you as to where it is.
No, in terms of quality of life, like good food, good people, culture, arts, beautiful folks. No. I've been to both, and Ted's spot on once again.
But Toley, the comment he made there, Dan Ball, He's not really a super analytics guy. I just started to like him even more. If he's just, because he certainly looks like a grip it and rip it. I'm just going to try to throw it by you. I'm big. I'm strong. I mean, I think the number, Dan Ball, correct me if I'm wrong, was like 81% fastballs or something in his debut. And, you know, he's talking about scouting reports. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That would be my advice to him. Until hitters prove your good stuff isn't good enough and you need to start to kind of pitch and play mind games, just keep bringing what you got. And Dan Ball put something, speaking of analytics, I guess I got to go to it because Dan Ball put it in the rundown.
I just put it there for your enjoyment.
Stuff plus?
No,
no, stuff plus. Anything that has a plus on it, I love. When they just add pluses to things, it's great. So stuff plus, it is an advanced analytic metric that evaluates a pitcher's, quote, nastiness and effectiveness based on a pitcher's physical characteristics, primarily its velocity, spin, and movement, while attempting to remove context like pitch location and outcome. I don't really know what that means, but Peyton Tolley is the best in baseball, 117. Up 1 point higher in stuff plus than Tarek Skubal.
Stuff plus? Are we kidding?
Yep, he's the best stuff plusser in baseball, Fitzy.
Stop it! What That's called the eye test, Andy.
Right,
that's
exactly.
What it's called.
I love stuff plus.
That's all I needed. Is I watched the first at bat and I was like, oh, this guy can throw. Also, watch the reaction of the guys who are at the plate who have to face him, and that'll tell you that he has plus stuff or stuff plus or whatever the hell else it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what they used to do. Scouts would tell you, oh, this guy has plus stuff. Yeah. Now they're like, no, he's got stuff plus.
With all these descriptions. Crust. My only question is stuffed crust. Are we putting – so we got caught up, I feel like, in the Roman Anthony experience because he was so good so fast. He came up. He lived up to the billing, the whole thing. Are we setting ourselves up for too high an expectation that Tolley, who started the year at single A, has gone single A, double A, triple A, major leagues in 1 year, are we expecting too much to just say, oh, yeah, give us five innings, go strike out eight guys. You're like,
Yeah, because he's 22 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, so nothing in his recent past would give you the reason to be hesitant other than I just go, he's 22 years old and this is the first time he's ever been in the big leagues.
Right.
So I would think it would be smart to be a little bit apprehensive,
And pitching's hard. Pitching's hard. I mean, Garrett Crochet can – if we're to believe them and all it is location – the best pitcher on your team, one of the best pitchers in baseball, missed in the middle of the plate a little too much, and they hit four home runs, and he gave up seven runs, and he looked like a very mortal pitcher.
Not a very good lineup.
No.
But he's also coming off of his innings peak, and there could be arm fatigue, as has been dictated to us by the manager's treatment of him, 5 days off here, 6 days off there, not pitching in the All-Star break. Whereas Tolley tonight, look, he hasn't pitched in a week, which is great, extra rest. And he's going up against not necessarily a great lineup. So if they're going to trot him out again and a couple more times, Andy, this is where his stuff plus probably has the best chance to shine.
But, he also is pitching more than he's ever pitched in his life. So that's why Alex Cora was talking about having to manage the pitch counts in the innings with him down the stretch. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it is 5 o'clock. The light is flashing. It's very distracting. They want me to go to break. It's 5 o'clock. It's time for The Drive, and we'll be back after this.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.